Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, small tuna fish, shut one big.
This is a shot sale.
Here we go again.
Live from our studios in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com. Doing a really impromptu show tonight. I was in here in Studio A working on some of the audio chain here for our broadcast setup. We have a pretty polished setup in here. I've been working on this for a couple of years, and I really like what I'm doing with it now. It's really, you know, I started off, I didn't know a lot about anything to do with broadcasting, and I really, really enjoy just sitting down in front of this microphone sometimes. Picked up some manuals on preamps, you know, different things that go with the microphones that we use, and I had been operating mine a little bit wrong, and so I made some changes, and I think it's going to make my voice sound a little better and improve some of the quality of the audio we have coming out. So I was doing that, and I just thought we would talk, kind of open up the phone lines to anybody that wants to chat about anything to do with the paranormal. And I also wanted to maybe cover a few things going on with GRI, my group that I run, Ghostwriter Investigations. We're going to be doing a ghost hunt here in September, first one of the year for us. We're way late getting started. It was one of those years, you know what I mean? Real life gets in the way of what you're doing, and you decide maybe it's better focus on things that are more prudent. Been going out and chasing a bunch of ghosts around, but they are a very real quality out there. They do exist, and these things are real. I see a lot of guests out there. Usually I throw those folks out, but I'm going to be a kind because I don't know who's logging in out there and at this late hour, and I just appreciate all of you listening in. I see Quinny out there and Atomic Fox 84. I see you. Good to see you guys out there. Let me pop the studio onto its own page here. Oh, nobody calling in yet. So I can basically say what I want, do what I want until a caller calls in. The number is, let me move this around, 646-478-0377. So I just wanted to run some audio checkout, do a little talk about some of the upcoming cases and things, and then chat with you guys if anybody calls in. Yeah, we're going to be doing a case out in our first case in Stockton, California, here on September 17th. I've already been on Facebook and put the word out, and I was real surprised that we had a whole lot of folks that wanted to just jump right back in and go on an investigation. So we have about seven people, all told, going to be investigating. I won't say the location, but we're going to be going to a very large warehouse, and this warehouse has what we believe to be one spirit in particular is making quite a few things happen in there. And I'm not going to give away the details just in case any of our investigators listen into this show, because what we want to do going in is make sure that they understand, you know, that they have to go based on what their feelings are and not what expectations are. So we're going to not tell them anything going in, and then let them go figure it out and collect all the evidence, and then, you know, have them write reports, go through the old standard gumshoe detective work that we do when we go out in the field, and do this thing. So we're going to be really looking forward to that. I've got the mind lamp on, for those of you that don't know about that. I don't have the camera on right now since it's such a short show, but the mind lamp is a random event generator that's using tunneling diodes. Yes, a very strange sounding thing, but it's basically a quantum device that picks up true randomness from the universe, if you will, and assigns colors to it. So this mind lamp is one of the two random event generators I have here in the studio, and we are really interested in the things it does. Right now, it is absolutely a beautiful green. I really like this thing. So on our regular shows, I tend to turn turn on a website that we have that we post the link here in chat and share it with you guys. We really are trying to push different envelopes just to see what things do. Now, there's another thing that's coming up on our shows. We will be, curious listeners out there. Hello, my dear. Just wanted to thank you, too, for that show the other day with all the EVPs. I will check my mail for all that. And when I get a little time this weekend, I'll go through that. And then we'll play some of that stuff on my show, you know, going forward. But, you know, it was funny because on that very show we were talking, I got the word that there was some discussions going on with some of the EVPs that were relating to me personally. And I called in, and it was really neat because I happened to mention, and Ed, one of our listeners, Ed, was in there, and he's not far from me. He's just about 80 miles west of me here in Northern California. And I brought up the fact that I was experimenting with a new way of doing EVP, and we're actually going to try this on the air coming up, I think not this coming Saturday, but the following. We're going to actually use a fan to provide a kind of a random white noise source. And what I found in experiments with this work so far has been that we've been getting great EVPs just using a microphone with a fan. With the air going by it, and it creates enough randomness and a feed source for spiritual entities to be able to manipulate that and use that energy for what they the communications they give us. Now, the mind lamp just turned an absolute deep pink kind of red color. So that's an interesting thing, just as I say that. Now it's shifting. Okay. But anyway, good to see all you guys popping in, the dedicated ones, the ones that stay up late and see what Blog Talk is doing. Queenie, I was kind of unfair. I was out on Facebook, and she started a chat, and I came in and happened to see she had that on and said, "Hey, I'm on the air. Come on and listen." So she's out there. Queenie does her own show also. We've got all these show hosts hanging out here late tonight. So yeah, it'd be great to get a call from one of them, major hint. And talk turkey about doing shows and the things that happen. Maybe we could get a little bit of that going on. So, yeah, the number is, again, 646-478-0377. But anyway, I'm just going to talk about, you know, things in general. It just turned an absolute dark purple. Isn't that neat? I've got to admit something. I have really kind of shied away from paranormal investigation for some time. And I went in, I went heavily into mediumship, and I'm staying in that area, but I find that there is, at my core, I still have a love for the paranormal. It's just that, when you go out and you are investigating, spirits out there, you're running into earthbound entities, and they tend to be doing a lot of the same things. And so now when I've looked at it, I'm realizing, hey, they need your help. There's definitely a spiritual rescue thing going on. So I don't mind doing the occasional one because it does have something. We can try to do some good while we're out there. But what I notice on a lot of the shows is that people go out and they're after is the evidence. They don't care about the situation. And that's where I kind of draw the line because there's a lot of theories about what happens with spirits out there. Some people think that they are they're just a residual thing, that there's no soul there. I beg to differ. I think that there is a trapped soul that is suffering, and these energies find themselves in a situation that they're not able to get out of without help. And so when a trained medium or mediums comes along and is trained to do that, they can help cross these folks over, and it's a very high spiritual calling. There's actually it does a lot of good for everyone involved, including the medium. Even though there's a lot of energy exchange, and it's a really, really harsh thing on the medium's body, because when you walk out of some of these things that you do, you're pretty worn out. Even regular folks who just haven't had any training and who go into paranormal investigation, if you do enough of it, I'll wager that all of you will walk away realizing that suddenly you're having clairaudient, clairvoyant episodes, and it starts stimulating because you are so exposed to these energies. And you're opening up areas of your mind that weren't open before. You start to become psychic and medium, get the mediumship abilities. And so it's a really neat thing to see. I've watched it repeatedly on my team, and I've seen it in other teams and read about it. I see a caller out there. I don't see their hand up, but I will go ahead and pull that up. It's a 111 caller, so I don't know if we have a Skype caller in. Quinny says she can't call in. Oh, it's curious. I see her. Okay. Let me go ahead and pull the, if I can get the line to go. Hey.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I felt the need to get on the air. Sometimes I just miss sitting in front of the mic.
I hear you. So that's why I just got the notice, and I was just feeling really ripped off in case it was a two-hour show that started an hour ago, but must have been a short notice spur of the moment thing.
Yeah, actually, I just came in to do some tuning in the studio. I've been looking at changing out one of my preamps and on my audio chain, and I just thought, I got looking, and I was sitting in here, and I felt the need, and I just said, I think I'm just gonna just sit down and do a show, and I didn't even know what the hell I was gonna do. I'm just gonna go for it and see what happens.
Right on. Good for you. Good for you. I was. Kinda...
I like that.
Yeah, there wasn't much on at the end of my show, and so I kind of, you know how on your own page you'll see of your favorites what shows are upcoming, and so
yeah.
I didn't see anything else for the rest of the night, so I thought, okay, well, that's going to be boring, but, and then all of a sudden I got an email saying, you had a show, and I'm all, what? So, because I looked at the time then, and I go, this is really unusual. What's going on? I hope I'm not getting one of them famous BTR notices 2 hours after a show ended or something that there was a show, But, I have a kind of specific question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I know that you do, and I really love the idea that you're, and it's funny because with the fans, I have, when I was a kid, I don't mean a little kid, but, I remember times when I would, then they used to tell you don't put your face right in front of a fan and it'll affect your hearing or whatever thing it was. But so whenever someone tells you not to do something, of course, the first thing you do is do that. And to me, it kind of felt like I was, you know, and I'm not going to say I was hearing voices or anything like that, but there was a very unique sound that was, you know, hitting me whenever I did do that. So I'll be really, really interested to see that one in action. And I know you've said that you've gotten EVPs using that method, so I'm really anticipating that show when you you said that's next week.
Yeah, what I'm doing, it's funny. I mean, I discovered this by accident, and this is sort of the way it's always been with me with developing techniques. I was I have two studios, and I'm in my main studio right now, and I just give them A and B designations. So Studio A is the primary. Studio B is up where I actually in my single room flat where I live here on the property. We've got multiple buildings, so I have this little one room place. And in the winter, what I like to do is I like to take Studio B and operate out of there because it's, the building's already warm. I have this thing about being warm. And so I operate out of B. And so I was up there and I just put a new system in and I was integrating all that and, refitting my gear. And I had the air conditioner on, and I was sitting there, and I run a different set of mics in my setup up there, and I was just working with the audio, getting the chain up and running, and I kept hearing the static, and I thought, I wonder. It just occurred to me out of the blue. I go, I wonder. I'm using radios with the static. Why can't I use just raw noise of air?
Right.
To see what I get? So what I did is I went ahead and boosted the mic up. Actually, I have two of the same microphones. So I took the second microphone and pointed it at the air conditioner, ran that, and through my mixer, and started asking questions just like I would on show.
Right.
And I couldn't believe it. I was getting. At first, it was a little bit of an adjustment because it sounds a little different. But I started getting EVPs. I was like, well, this is pretty cool.
No kidding.
So I started working that, and I'm really thinking through. I'm going to do another few sessions privately just to make sure that it's going to work the way I think it will. But
right.
It's the most simple thing I've ever done. I mean, you just turn on the air conditioner and run the fan and stick a mic near it and see what happens. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah.
So
we'll
whereas with the Spirit Box or Shakak or whatever, Frank's Box or whatever all them other kinds are, you can hear it as it's happening, right? And sometimes, like, how we run those live EVP sessions with these Spirit Boxes and, someone's holding their telephone right up to the box or something like that, and we can hear and catch some of them right while it's happening before a reveal show. But with the fan, you're not hearing it until after you go back and look at the recording. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I do it a little differently than most. What I do is I've learned one thing that they're capable of doing is I'm using the standard EVP method, which is record the audio clip and then go back and analyze it. But what I found is that they embed they very easily embed their audio, their voices into just standard clips with
right.
a lot less energy on their part. But I have to work harder to pull that out of the noise. And
I
so what
see.
we found is we use Audacity or whatever tool you want.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can record that, give them a feed source because they do use that energy. And
yeah.
you give them the feed source, and then what you do is you go through and you start clipping and doing noise reduction, and you start, pulling that out. And
gotcha.
By about the third pass, the voices start coming through, and they are generally fairly audible. I've got EVP ear, I call it, and
yeah.
a lot of other EVP researchers say the same thing. You get an ear for it, and
yeah.
you can get those modulations. And so I do about a minute recording time. And
yeah.
We go back and analyze it, and it takes. I'm working my butt off on this. I mean, I give it some time to really analyze it, and I generally do it in 2 second bursts, and then we come back at the end of the read, and I read through the whole script, and it really the people that call in they seem to enjoy it, and I enjoy it, and the other side, my control I work with is Debbie Caruso. She's an EVP researcher who passed in January 2010. And she's just a sweetheart, and I've just had the best luck with it. So it's a single frequency technique. What I'm doing is a variation with this fan technique on the same thing. I have never tried it. And this would be an interesting thing to do with another show host, is to try, and exchange our different technologies and try each try the one that the other is doing, because I've never done that with the live stuff, and I've got the equipment for it. I've just never done it.
Right. Well, and now here's my real question is, and you also use an ovilus, correct? I've heard you use that on your show before. Now, my biggest question is, and what I would be most interested in finding out is, have you ever or heard of, or keep it in mind as you move forward, ask a question, while trying to conduct an EVP session, having two methods going at the same time, so a spirit box and an ovilus, or a fan and an ovilus. What I want to know is it possible to capture, because in an ovilus, what it does is it gives you text, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it tells you, it just types out a word for you, and that's the EVP it caught. Is that how that works?
Well, the way I have two different ovulus devices. I have the original, and then I have the ovulus PX, and then now there's a whole new one, and I'm not sure I want to go buy more gear.
Yeah.
I got a mountain of it. But what I like in the PX is it's a very responsive unit, and it has a fairly, it's got a 2,048 word vocabulary. And it has a decent program with it that I can go in, and then not only can I hear the voice, but I can actually on my PC see what is being said. So I'll be able to do a lot of work with that. Now, you said about combining techniques. That's something I thought about.
I want to see evidence one time, because otherwise I don't understand. But if we ask a question to a spirit that we've called to try and give us an EVP, and we've asked a question now, we're waiting for an answer, we're doing a couple of passes, I want to see sometime down the road where we can get the spirit box and we can hear with our ear, let's say lunchbox, you know what I mean? And then have the ovilus also say that was what it captured, if you know what I mean.
That's standard technique. It's funny because when we go out on paranormal investigations, we tend to mix different brands of equipment.
Uh-huh.
And I've had it happen where I've been on paranormal investigations where we've had two different techniques complement one another to really, add to the credibility of the evidence. And one of them was me I'm clairaudient, so I've actually heard spirits and describe what they're saying. And then have not only that, but more than one EVP recorder picking up what was said by the spirit, which was the same thing as to what I said just before. And I have two really good clips of that I've got in my library, which just were just mind blowers. Now to do it in a controlled laboratory situation like what you're talking about here, no, I've never done that. But it would be interesting. I mean, I tend to do things in very serial way. I think we could design something to do that. I think it would be a neat experiment to say, okay, we're going to run the ovulus, run that through one part of the chain, and then have FM running, and then kind of let the thing just take off and see what happens. And and not only that, you really have to know your spirit guides on the other side who are working with you, and explain this to them so that they understand it too.
Yeah,
because it takes a lot for them to do this. It just makes sense to evolve them ahead of time. The planning, it's a kind of a consideration. The more I go with this, the more I find out they really like to be in on the planning. If you can just tell them ahead of time what's coming, otherwise it's kind of, you do it and you just happen to get who you get. But if you let them know ahead of time and it's like a formal thing, it's a big deal to them to like, we'll do that.
Yeah,
and then you will have a good show.
Right, and I believe that can happen, and there's no doubt that other spirits try to talk over, and that adds to the complexity of reviewing the EVPs, is to because there'd be other spirits that will show up, and they're not necessarily the one we're trying to capture a message from. So that can really add a problem to it as well. But nonetheless, I'm really rather fascinated. I'll tell you after the show was done, and I took a couple of hours of downtime because I was frenzied to get all the clips loaded up just before the show. I had four more sent to me and blah, blah, blah. So I took a bit of downtime, and then I just replayed my show and just went and laid on my couch, you know. And
yeah.
Other stuff started to jump out at me like crazy. Earlier on in the show, one of the people who we were doing EVPs for, I was also reading the chat log, from the show, because I don't really watch chat while I'm on, doing the job. And so there was a lot of people that were hearing like 427, 427, 427. And so just for the heck of it, something, because when I'm listening to shows live, let's say that they say, oh, well, there's a guy, and he says his name is, and everybody starts hearing that his name is Jacques Cousteau or something ridiculous, just as an example, then mm-hmm. I'll go right away to Google. And, if they start throwing out other information, 1958 is significant or whatever, then I go onto Google, and I'll tell you, one time I totally... they kept getting somebody with a white shirt, and there was a name, a first and a last name. I Googled and I found an article, and it was the Pentagon shooter. I can't remember the details much anymore or the guy's name. But and the article I read, the very first sentence of it was, as he was setting off in the morning in his white shirt. And we kept hearing white, and people kept hearing his name plus white shirt and all this. And then I Google it and find out that this was the guy who I believe that the authorities killed him, because he was, there to shoot people. And so they did what they had to do to stop him. And so we think that was him, that it was. But so I really love getting onto the Google to see what can I find out. Well, 427, and we were asking about what are you riding now, and because we were looking for the word motorcycle or bike or chopper or something that would indicate motorcycle. And so I Googled just for the heck of it 427 and motorbike. And bingo, up comes a page, and it's a page from the United Kingdom, and there's a specific bike road, that people are commenting, I love this road for biking and blah, 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 and they don't mean bicycling, hey? And so, to me, I had to tell my friend, there's something to this 427. Now I want to find out if the guy that she was trying to contact through EVP had some dream one day to go to the UK or what, or is there a UK tie there, But I found a couple of highways as well where there were some motorcycle crashes on a highway 427 and stuff. So I was really interested after the fact. It's not anything that any of us caught, during the show, I love going back and listening when I'm not straining so hard to hear it. It seems to me that stuff jumps out a little bit easier sometimes.
Do you, I don't know how long you've been doing your show, but I've been on Blog Talk now for about 2 years. And in the last year, I've really been taking time, actually, in probably a little less than that, about 8 months. I've been taking, before I do the show, I actually meditate. I actually take, about the 30 minutes prior to air, I'll go off and play a meditation tape and really get myself ready. And it seems to open me up, especially when I'm doing the mediumship work.
Right.
It was kind of funny the other night because on your show, I tuned in and I wasn't in that frame of mind. And yet I was kind of real relaxed when I was listening, and I was really enjoying what was happening with all the clips you were playing. And kind of let myself relax. And it was funny, at the end of the show, I didn't get to say what happened, but I was sitting there, and a new spirit shows up at my place that I've never run into before, and it's a small Oriental boy.
Wow.
And he was dressed traditional Chinese outfit, small young man, and he shows himself to me, and I'm going, what in the hell?
Wow.
And I'm out here in gold country, you know. I mean, you know, Marshall discovered gold 9 miles from my house in 1849
right.
here. I'm right in the center of where the gold rush happened. So I'm really thinking that this is a little boy who was, you know, part of the Chinese immigrants who came in and died, and I have never run into a Chinese settler like
wow.
this. I mean, to show me this way, I've run into traces of the Chinese throughout the Sierras in our investigations, and had different things come in. And especially, we've had some Mandarin EVPs, but
oh, wow.
this was vivid. And he just came in and he stayed there for about 30 seconds and then he was just gone. And it was just like, he's just saying, hey, I'm here. But I mean,
wow.
do you get that kind of stuff? I mean, do you get these kind of things?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm just a show host. I just push the buttons, eh? And so I don't, and you know, there'll be one or two people there that are going to go blah, blah, blah. But you know, I mean, like, I'm not really... working psychic and blah, 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 and all that. But, you know, it was interesting because last night, and it's funny that you say that, because, you know, last night while I was laying on my couch listening, I sort of closed my eyes. And, you know, I'm not one that closes my eyes and starts seeing pictures and stuff like that, right? And, you know, to me, there was a picture of a picture in a frame. You know, like a desktop size frame or something, a wooden frame. And it was like an old-fashioned type, and it was like maybe a family picture, you know, but there was a female, you know, that was prominent in that picture. And I held on to that image for quite some time. So I thought that was really interesting. Like, I mean, I do believe that lately my intuition is starting to improve, and I've had some, you know, some other interesting things finally starting to happen. But so I'm really young in this, and I've only really even had a show for I don't know, about a month, or I don't even really know what day I started, but I'm fairly new. But I've attended a lot of shows, you know what I mean, like as a listener. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that you bring that up, though, because I did, like, last night for the first time, you know, to actually close my eyes. And then it made me wonder, you know, like, huh, I wonder if, you know, any of the voices that I'm listening to on these EVPs are this, you know, woman, or from this family, or what, you know, and who's this family, you know. And so I'm hoping that it doesn't happen too often, because, like I said, with the Google thing, like, I'll get on a tear trying to figure it out then, because I always want to figure out stuff and sort and solve it, right? And so if I start seeing pictures all the darn time, it might drive me right over the edge.
Well, it's you know, I mean I've grown up with this stuff happening to me, and then the show, you know, and the investigations that I got into really accentuated it. You're following pretty much the standard path. I mean, I would say that, you know, if you're starting to have these experiences, get ready, because it goes more. You're going to be experiencing things, but they're pretty gentle with people, you know, coming in, and even experienced people. They tend to be rather considerate of us, you know, probably more so than we are of them. So just be aware. I mean, you're going to have little things that happen that will kind of blow your mind, and especially when you're featuring EVPs on air, they're coming in to listen. I mean, you have the other side listening in. You there's no escaping that, you know.
Right.
If I can do this on air, you know, and bring in call, you know, and the same way as you're doing, you got a direct connection to the other side, and they're very high energy. They're very full of the light. They're very interested in making sure people know they're around and that they care. And welcome to the club. You've opened the door.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm in no rush. It's not a big dream of mine, but I'm fully aware of things that are going on, and you know, I'm probably been an innate. At least intuitive, but so I've never ever known, you know, the difference between my own thoughts and what thoughts might be coming from guidance is all. And so, you know, now.
Actually,
go ahead.
You know how you can tell the difference. There is a way.
Okay.
If you let's just say that you are you're sitting there thinking about some topic and it's on your mind, and it's related to what you're doing. And more often than not, if it's a thought that's related to something that's on your mind, you know, a good chance that it's probably just your subconscious, you know, and your thought process is just working on solving the problem that's in front of you.
Right.
But there are those cases where the other side pops in and it's some completely wild thing going on that they want to talk about, and it has
right.
nothing to do with what your mindset's on. That's a pretty
right.
good indicator. The other is that in my training, in my classes, one of the other things to look for is if the thought, and this is hard to do, this is a very, I'm still trying to process this myself, but what my teacher was saying was that you basically listen to the, you really analyze what was said in this thought, and you try to get the gist of the voice that was behind it, because thoughts do have a sort of voice to them. And
yeah.
if it's got kind of a feel like it sounds, it's a little bit higher pitch, a little uh-huh. faster than it would be your normal thought, they operate very quickly, and they'll insert thoughts to us with relative ease, because
yeah.
We have, you know, we're partly electronic in our own way. You know, we operate electrochemically. That's how the mind works. So they can affect us just like they affect our electronic gear.
But
if you get that speedy thought, if you get that speedy high pitched thought, it's probably them.
You see, it's not. It's been often, like, I mean, all through my life, where, you know, stuff like I'll be standing around with a group of people, and suddenly I'll just start whistling some song that I hadn't heard in years, and suddenly I just start whistling that song, and then someone in the group goes, "Why are you whistling that song? I just heard that song this morning," or something like that, right? And and then there's other times when I'll be like talking with, it happens most when I'm like talking with friends or other people that I used to be trying to help when I was working in that. I'll just get on a roll, like almost like a preaching roll of advice spilling forward. And so I've wondered sometimes if, you go like, where'd that come from? You know what I mean? But my problem is not knowing the difference at all. You know, I just say what's in my head, and I don't know how it got there. I don't know if it originated with me or if it got sent there. it's my challenge.
Well, you've got a couple of tools now to work with, and you can research this. And not only that, it's just getting in there and doing it.
Right.
You know, a lot. I mean, I dove in first, you know, to this whole topic. First, I started the paranormal show. Got into that, didn't know what the hell I was doing, did a lot of really bad shows to begin with, didn't understand production, didn't know how to do the audio, didn't know how to do it, you know, pull a show structure together, and I worked my way through it. But the thing with the mediumship, when I got into that, I really just kind of trusted my gut and went with it, and it felt right. And I learned subsequently that, you know, it paid to go get the education. It paid to get around professionals and people that know what they're doing, and they can bring you that knowledge. Now, the deal is, you're already reading. You know, what you just said to me was just such a revealing thing, because you're on a roll, you say, and you're giving advice, and you don't know where it's coming from. Well, that's the other side. Guess what? You know, you're channeling.
Right.
You're actually doing a form of channeling. And that's what we do in mediumship. There's a partial, a spirit actually will walk in fairly close proximity to you to meld with your energy field. And that is generally how they're able to plant these thoughts in. And then when we're sensitive enough, and if we raise our energy high enough, we can perceive them. And then we're able to have an exchange. But there's times where it's a one-way thing. They're coming in and they're working with you because they know you're picking it up, and you're getting the message to the person that needs it.
Right.
And it's absolutely, you're absolutely doing mediumship. You know, welcome.
Well, my problem is I don't know that I'm doing it. And so the best I can ever tell people is, just tell me what's going on. Like, no, I'm not going to be able to tell you that your dead aunt's name is Rosanna. You know what I mean? And that she's wearing a a red checkered apron around her, you know, long dress, you know. But what I could do is ask you, you know, tell me what's bothering you these days, and then I'll just tell them what advice I have. And, you know, maybe some of that is just my life experience, and maybe some of that is, as you say, sort of being given to me, you know, and it comes out of my mouth. So, you know, I don't know the difference, though, and maybe I've been doing it all my life, and that's why I don't know the difference.
It's you're experiencing the first pangs of consciousness about the whole thing, and you're going through the natural stages that, that all of us have been through. I mean, I went through the same thing. When it really got my attention, you know, I mean, I grew up with mediums around the house, and I was doing psychic stuff my whole life, and I never thought in a million years I'd be doing this in front of audiences with a microphone in front of me, and eventually doing private readings, and gallery readings are coming next. I mean, I know that's going to happen. But I mean, what really got my attention was in 2003. I was sort of pulled in with no plan into my uncle, who was passing into his hospital room. I was there, and I became the central figure, making sure that everybody knew what was happening. And it turned out I was channeling and connecting with his guides. And I was spontaneously telling everything that would happen with his passing, telling people, his family who were there and who were all upset and weren't getting a lot of answers from the doctors. And I started explaining everything going on, why they were given the drugs, what they were doing, why the drugs were being given, what was going to happen when they, you know, they brought him down so far and they were going to slip him over to the other side, and there would be others waiting on the other side to take his soul across. And I'm sitting there, just, this stuff's coming out, and my aunt is looking at me, who's also, you know, very gifted. And she's looking at me going, what in the hell are you doing? And I'm going, I don't know. I don't know where this is coming from, but I'm being led to give it, so I'm going to follow it.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, they're working with you. And I'm going, okay. And so I just kept it up. And that family was so grateful, you know. I mean, they came to me later and go, how did you do that? And I go, well, sometimes the other side will do these things. And I've never had it happen before, but this was needed, and I was who they chose to make this happen. And so that got my attention. That's what really, you know, set
me kind of on course. If I suddenly started telling somebody all this medical stuff and, like, stuff that I don't know myself, you know what I mean? But for me, the way it seems to be, if anything at all, is just that I seem very often to say the right thing at the right time to somebody, you know, and I don't really, and then people go, wow, blah, and I'm all like, what, you know, but I just said what was in my mind to say. And so that's all, and maybe you're right, maybe as this thing progresses, I may be able to distinguish or discern, you know, when, and then maybe be able to turn it on and off as to, because, you know, I just be myself, and the last thing I ever want to call myself is, you know, that I'm psychic or a medium or a channeler or any of that, right? But I tell you what, when I closed my eyes and saw a picture of a of a family, I was like, holy cow, what is going on here, you know? And that was a first for me.
I hate to break it to you, but most of us are psychic, and most of us have mediumistic tendencies. If we just pay attention to it, it's a developed process that, you know, in the way human beings are. You know, we all have it. It's just, you know, how far are you willing to develop it? And it seems to be that if you immerse yourself in and around the subject, like what you're doing, you cannot help but develop it. So, you know, if I hate to break it to you, but you are a medium, you are a psychic. How far you want to take that is up to you. But welcome to the club. You're exhibiting all the stuff. I would say yes, that's somebody with the gift, and they're beginning to bloom. So, and it's anybody can do this. It's just. Yeah, and this is where I look at people who go out and develop massive egos with this stuff. You know, I mean, I'm not making a lot of money at this. I mean, I do this out of love of my heart for the subject. But you know, it's the ones who keep their head about them and realize they're there just to pass the message, and they do that. And yet, it is the greatest reward in the world to get a great reading for me. I mean, I really feel good when I'm hitting on mark, and I know what I know the message coming through is having an impact, and it's helping that sitter. You know, what you're doing, bringing these voices through. you're doing somewhat the same thing, you know. And it's just how I started. I mean, the whole EVP bit, and then the next thing you know, you're starting to have visions. Well, you know,
yeah.
How are you? I'd be writing down everything that happened right now. I could tell you that. I'd get a book out and start, you know, keeping notes, because you're gonna be seeing a theme come through, and you may get to learn who your guides are. You know, that's the next thing that may be happening.
So I look forward to that, if you know, because that would be, because I always, right now I just say, you know, the anything smart I say must be guidance, and all the stupid stuff is mine, and that's just the way it is with me, you know. And you know, I'm a lot like you with my belief that, you know, I see people running around and, oh, I'm a healer and I did this and I did that. And I'm all like, no, you didn't. Like, it's the source energy that's doing it. And you're being the vessel for it. And, you know, some humbleness would be a nice thing to see in some people, you know? And I think that's a huge difference, because, some people, they get too big for themselves then, and then I think that their natural talent, you know, that their ability can be influenced by that, and then maybe they're allowing some of their own prejudices to enter into when they're talking to somebody else or trying to give a reading, because they just think they're all of that. I'm a Reiki master, apparently. I have a certificate on its way to tell me I am. And it's something, like I've always said for years to people, is anybody has energy and anybody has the ability to form an intent. And I think that anybody, therefore, can send healing energy anywhere they want to. And I believe that even more so now. And so, but I'm not a healer. I would call myself, you know, I've described it like a hollow bone, or I've described it like a straw. You know, the straw is there to get the liquid into your mouth. And at the end of the day, the straw is empty. You know, it helped to get the pop to where it needed to be. You know, it wasn't the straw alone that did that. Right?
Yeah, when you come in as a spirit to manifest in this reality, I mean, you know, we're all born, you know, we come into this world, but we've been here many times before. We have soul groups we work with. We have spirits on the other side that we have partnerships with, you know, some that we've had for generations, you know, going way back. Others, it's a new thing. But, you know, to do the work you're doing is very special work, you know, so you've got a partnership going on.
Right.
With those entities who are helping you do that. That's exactly right. Don't you know, the one thing I'm going to say is, you know, people who do mediumship and people who do healing work and people who put themselves, we're all kind of in the same pot. And the thing is it's the one thing I will claim a little bit of from an ego standpoint is it takes incredible courage to put yourself out on the line and sit there, you know, night after night doing this stuff, you know, and some nights don't go well. Like my last show where I was doing stuff, I was really tired and I was not performing at all. I mean, I was just not hitting. And I was glad I had Brenda there, because she was hitting better than I was. And it was just, I was just wiped out from working. But, you know, it takes courage to go out there and do this. And it's it's a very special person that can do that. But it's a calling.
Your humbleness, though, helps you to determine you were having an off night, whereas the ones that get too full of themselves would sit there arguing that they're right, and you'll find out later. You know what I mean? You'll think of it later, and it'll come to you, for if you research that, you'll find that to be true. In other words, they're never wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know how many shows you get around to BTR, but I hear that a lot. And whereas I have a lot more respect for the ones that say, you know, okay, you know, take it. If it resonates with you, great. If not, toss it to the wind and, you know, move on, right?
So you're not
so invested in being right. You're not a stats guy. Oh, I have a 97% accuracy rate, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, God. I mean, the very best high-quality mediums out there are probably going to get 70%. You know, on a really good night, if not more, maybe a little more. I've had nights where I just hit it out of the park, and other nights it's, you know, it's right in that ballpark, 60-70%. I feel pretty good. The thing is I'll tell you that there's something that does happen. I will get you know, there's a system for mediumship. I mean, when we open the door to it, we sense the spirit. The spirit identifies themselves, and then we ask as mediums mentally, because I'm doing mental mediumship, and I say to them, all right, show me things that will make it clear that this is who you are, and there's proof here, so that
right.
this person that is the sitter is going to understand. And so I'll have this
right.
dialogue going on. Even while I'm talking, I'm sitting there having another conversation simultaneously with the spirit to say, show me what you got. What do you got for me?
Right.
And
right.
they'll and sometimes, I mean, what will happen is I'll say something that spirit said, and I'm passing it on. And the spirit's sitting there like, you know, the sitter doesn't connect with it at all. And I go back to the spirit, and I go, well, you know, what's this mean? And the spirit will sit there and just reiterate, you know, you keep it up. You know, and
yeah.
sometimes they're like, they're hitting me over the head going, you stupid, you know, you either got it wrong or, you know, change it around a little bit and I'll try that. And then they'll just come back and say, you know, they're going to remember, just pass it on, but don't back off. Don't let it go. And
right.
there's those times I will do that. And you'll hear me say that. I'll say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a bulldog.
Yeah.
No, we're going to go there. You know,
yeah.
and this is going to happen. And I get a lot of people come back with emails and or call in on the show later and just say, yeah, you were right on that reading. And that,
yeah,
you know, when I got out, it was this. But there's the ones, you're exactly right. They're the ones that that are really invested in being right at all costs. And,
yeah.
and but they're operating different. It's just the way
right.
it is. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I've eaten up almost all your show. I should go shut up and listen to your last 9 minutes.
Actually, I extended a little bit because I wasn't sure what. To,
oh.
So I took it out.
Oh,
to, I took it out another 30 minutes. I'm up for talking
oh,
more.
Okay.
No, I mean this is
oh,
a good conversation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I just I just gonna say quickly because Jenny jumped into the room, Satori. And she was the girl, the woman I was referring to about that number 427 that I was reading in the chat log, and so that's
yeah.
why I popped that link in there for her to go see the website that once I Googled motorbike and 427, and that's what I came up with. And I'm getting a little haunted right now because I thought that I heard or saw this word, this highway there or whatever. It's on a website called bestbikingroads.com. And, you know, there's this A427, this road called A427. And,
mm-hmm.
but, and it's called, it's in Oondle. And like something's haunting me that, you know, somewhere in, it's Oondle Road. And something's haunting me there that, like, if I go back and listen real closely again or look at that chat places or the chat log or something, that there was somebody along the way I thought was saying, like, oodles or toodles or, you know, and so, like, now I'm keen to maybe track that down. And because we asked specifically, what are you riding? You know, and so he, and they figured that they picked up the word bike or motorbike and things like that. But then, you know, this somebody else was saying that they were hearing 427. And, you know, so I don't know if a person who's a biker would be like, I'm riding this road, if you know what I mean. Like I'm riding the A 427. And I don't know if that's lingo that a you know that somebody that rides would use, but it did interest me that there was a hit on the Google search for that. So that anyway, Jenny, that I just took advantage of the airtime to let you know that's what I was on the 427.
Did you ever stop to think that might be April 27th?
It could be April 27th as well. I don't know, Jen, if there's any meaning to that for you in the. She's in the chat, so she'll hear that in about 20 seconds. But
yeah.
she may validate that. And, you know, and I had heard a few other things that jumped out at me that I was going to make note of to bring up to Jen and others in that show. See if I can even find... anyway, I'm not going to waste your time, but another thing that jumped out at me was there was one word where we were, Jen, where we were we kept on hearing dancing, like we wondered if the word could be dancing, and the longer I listened to that word, in Cree language, we would say hello by saying tansi, which is spelled T-A-N-S-I, And so now I'm going to go back and listen to that again and ask Jenny to maybe put that through her little slow it down a bit or something, whatever she does with her software, and see if that says Tense by any chance, because that might have been somebody saying hi to me when we heard that word. So there are all kind of other things that jump out at you every time you hear it, I think, sometimes. Have you ever had that experience, John? You've listened to them like crazy to review them, and then you're totally not even paying close attention, and now something else jumps out at you.
Well, one thing I found, and by the way, chat room is Satori is saying that April 7th is the day that this person dies. So the two may be extraneous noise or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's another line item to follow up on. I just kept getting that feeling like, hey, this is a date. This is not a number. It's actually a date.
Yeah.
So check into that. But what I will say is this. I've done an awful lot of EVPs. I've recorded thousands of them. And you know, my library rolls into right around. I did a count, and I had about 4,500 EVPs that I've gotten in my career. And what I have found is that when you do recordings fresh out the gate, let's say you have you do the EVPs and you analyze them within a few days. I don't like to do that. I don't like to do EVP right off the bat. I like to let them sit about a week. And it seems like the other side has some interesting things that that they do. And because the physics of the EVP formation is not well understood, and it may not be an entirely instantaneous process. Because what I found is when we do EVPs and we play them back, we'll get them, and they will be they may be partially formed.
Right.
And what we'll get is, if I wait about a week or two, sometimes longer, a whole new set of EVPs show up. And I've had the file sitting there, now loaded into the computer. And I'm going, how did that happen? I haven't done anything. I've done no post-processing. I've done nothing to that file. And yet I'm getting new EVPs off of it. And so what I've learned is just, it's like, that my theory is that this is more of an impression that they make upon the the media that we have, and it's like a film developing. And so when they do that, it has a certain time in our universe that it forms and matures before it sets, and then we can adequately analyze it. So to me, my recommendation is, and this is just my practice in my work, is I wait a week.
Yeah.
Before I'll analyze the actual tapes that I do. I mean, we'll do spot checks, but we're only doing it just because out of curiosity.
Yeah.
But I don't like to just to walk in and start a big giant analysis.
Right.
Because I'm going to miss stuff because this stuff hasn't formed yet.
So last night's show when we were reviewing these, and Jenny did a bunch of clips also, and Ed did some clips, and so there was one with Carrie Whisper. And we were thinking that it kept saying fish, fish, fish. And last night when I was re-listening to it all lazy, like laying on my couch, hardly paying attention, it came through to me like perish, as though the word die, not the word church. And so, and she was talking about this little girl who we thought was shot or something like that, you know what I mean? And so then when I believe that the word that we all thought was fish might just be perish. So I'm going to go back and double check that too. So sometimes when you listen too close, you can miss some stuff, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things I do in readings is I'll sit in a chair, and I'll load everything up on my laptop, and I'll just start letting it play through. And, and I'm listening for anything that's going to kind of pop out and grab my attention, and I'll mark that and go in and try to work with it.
Right.
Most of the time, you're not going to get a lot. Yeah, there are those cases where it's every other second you're getting a new EVP, but a lot of the time you're not getting it. When we do the shows, it's a different story because the other side knows we're going to do that, and it's a pretty much guaranteed thing we're going to get this stuff. I've rarely ever been skunked on air, But what I notice when we go in these cases is it's a real, you know, you're going to have EVPs where it's going to be 7 minutes between, you know, times of spirit talks. Now, if the word gets out that we're going to be there, it might be an active night. But it's nice. What it's nice to do though is to let your subconscious kind of pop in and relax about it, and not be like, oh, I got to get every sound. You know, you're going to miss a few. Guess what? You know, that's part of the that's part of the game. But
it's funny how they just jump out at you later. Like, what? How did I miss that?
One of the recommendations I have is to use repetition and when you're doing clips and you're working with you know, EVP. The human brain seems to have about a 7 second maximum buffer time. It's just the way we're built. And I find with audio, it's even less. And I like to go to 2.5 to 3 seconds of time on a particular clip. And then I'll go into, and you'll hear me do that on air. I mean, I do that a lot. I'll do the 3 seconds, 2 to 3 seconds. And I'm doing that because that's the time that I need, you know, to listen in and be able to interpret what's going on. And then I can start connecting the dots. And and it's the same in analysis. It's the exact same technique. And it really worked, really, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to it. And I know that this has, Jenny and I have talked quite a bit about it since. And I noticed that she has this great talent of taking the clips out. And, you know, we've talked about various different methods of trying to work this and trying some experiments between us two. Like we talked about, remember at the tail end of last night's show, John, I had said, I'm going to try one of these times real soon here to just turn on the WavePad or the Audacity and put my microphone right in front of the computer and then go up to bed, you know, and just hit record. And then ask my grandma, for example, because I believe my grandma's around all the time, and ask her to leave me some messages or something like this, you know, and ask her to maybe, you know, say her maiden name, her last name, you know, and things like that. And then if I can capture something like that, and then Jenny was going to do something similar at her place, but then we were going to experiment the next time, and I was going to ask my grandma to go over to Jenny's house and do the same overnight there, you know what I mean? And then Jenny could send, say, Mike or somebody over to my house, and I want to see if she can capture my grandma on hers, and I can capture her her fellow Mike on mine. And so I have all these ideas of you know, trying to you know, look into this a little further. But I think Jenny's calling in, so I totally don't want to interfere with her call. She's I'll stay on, but I'll shut up if you want to take her call.
Yeah, no problem. I'll go ahead and leave you in. I will say this much. I've done experiments. I've been doing metaphysical work a long, long time. I've been off and on 25 years doing this stuff. And one of the techniques I learned early on, and I'm not very good at this, but, you know, is astral travel.
Right.
And what I've always thought would be an interesting experiment, what you said reminded me of it, would be to take and do astral travel where you did EVP, and here you are, a living spirit, leaving your body and going in and trying to use your spirit body to affect an EVP recorder at a remote location. Now that would be an interesting experiment.
Well, that would be quantum years ahead of what I could do. But if we could find somebody that can do that, that would rock my socks for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's techniques that are well known. You know, and this stuff goes back thousands of years. This is not new stuff. But the trick would be, start using current generation recording technology, commercially available stuff, and then just start working with it and trying to see what can you capture. And what you would do, you would write down what you're going to try to say on the, and then hand that to an independent party. Then you go and you do your thing, and then they do the EVP. And they analyze that, and then you open the envelope and you look, and it's like, hey, what do we got here? And if you get a hit, oh my God, that's the coolest thing ever.
Oh, that would be totally amazing.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and take the call in just a moment. I'm going to go ahead and do a station identification, and then so we got about a minute, and then we'll go ahead and bring that person on. So, because I want to stand and stretch a minute because my back is hurting. So you're listening to Soul Stream here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll do just a little bit of station identification and one of my favorite tunes here. We'll bring it on and be back in about 1 minute.
Right on.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
That's funny.
All right. We're good. I love doing my show. It's all, I'm going to be putting some new comedy bits on soon, so you guys are going to get some fresh ones. But we're going to bring Satori on. And just hit the button. And so, hello, are you there?
Hello, John. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Yeah. Where are you at?
I'm in New York.
Oh, okay. Great state. You got trying to bat down the hatches for a hurricane, I hear.
I don't think we're going to get hit too much because I'm up in the mountains, you know, like upstate. So hoping it's not going to be too bad here.
Well, at least there'll be good rain then, huh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Well, so, you were kind of blown away with that April thing.
I'm dying. I got to tell you, I have chills on the top of my head, which means that I feel like you're going to tell me something really even more interesting.
So, now, now this whole thing, I'm taking that this was an accident with this young man. I mean, is this, and I don't know the whole circumstance, so if you could give me a little to go on, and the name of the guy.
Sure. His name is Mike, and as far as the accident, I don't know. The accident is, of course, you can use that word, it could be car or whatever, but no. I think it was an overdose. You know, but that's not, I'm not certain about it.
And so this was a, this, I get accident. Yeah. Was this, I mean, how, was he young now?
I
feel like he's young. Okay. Did he have a substance abuse problem? Because I'm not really feeling like that. He was that kind of guy. Was he doing a lot of that?
Yeah, he was. And the thing was, it wasn't him. So that would make sense. He, before he got into that stuff, great guy, just so articulate and so fun to be with. But then there was that other side, you know. And when his father died, I think he went to pieces. So maybe what you're feeling. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like it was in character for him to be a substance abuser. And so that was a relatively new behavior when this all took place.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, what I get here is this was a total accident. He's he did not mean to cross. It was just the way it worked out.
Okay.
I don't feel like I feel absolute regret because of the pain that was caused.
Yeah.
Were the the father passed first?
Right. Yes.
So another male contemporary to his to the father's side, who he was close to, was there? Did his dad have a brother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That he was close to?
Yes.
Almost like a father to him. Okay, so he that's what he's. I keep getting this sense of total regret about the hurt that he did to the family, because that's the one thing kind of holding him back. And if there's nothing that can be done about it, you know, it is what it is now. Prayers to him, you know, to help him, and forgiveness to him will help a lot in his spiritual progression. So he's sort of being held here in some respects a little bit because of the emotions that are going on. And the grief that happened, because I think his mother, I just feel like the mother was just beyond devastated. I mean, am I hitting it on? Was she like... Pardon me?
That was her youngest, and it really, you're right, yeah. It hit her really hard, yeah.
I mean, it was almost too much to bear, and she was, you know, way beyond... the normal type reaction. I mean, it's bad enough that, you know, yeah, you process it and you go through it and it's the loss of a child, but this really floored her. I mean, it's like she couldn't hardly function. And this is what's really getting to him. I keep being showed flowers on a piano. Why am I getting flowers on a piano? Was there a piano?
I play the piano.
Oh, it's for you. Okay.
Oh.
All right. He shows me that, and there's a picture of a portrait of someone that's like either on the piano or near the piano, and this portrait is kind of an ornate portrait. You know, the kind of French gold, lacy kind of metal. I'm no good with that stuff. I mean, I'm going to just say what I see. But it's just like French lacy gold stuffy thingy that, and then there's a picture of someone. Yeah.
That sounds like something I would... Yes.
Okay. I don't know who it is in the picture, but he's making reference to it. What's this thing with the car?
Wow.
Did he drive a sports car? Was he a bit of a lead foot?
Oh my God! Yeah, and you're right. It's muscle cars. You know, like the old ones.
Yeah, that's what I get. A muscle car. Yeah. Okay. So more evidence of him. He's just making sure that he's getting the evidence through.
What color is your lamp, John?
My lamp is absolutely white right now. I mean, it's just sitting there, you know, just cruising around. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to it. It was changing color. It went deep purple for a while, but now it's just sitting there white. But I'm just getting – he's a very clear communicator. I mean, I really like working with him.
I know. And I asked him to work with you. He was like, heck yeah, you know.
Was he a gadget guy? Did he have like every digital device known to man?
Not only that, he was very like he would take things apart electronically and wire them and you know a little doodad.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm keyed into him. He's okay. So I mean, we've established it's him, and it went deep purple the minute now it were deep purple again, because he's letting me know he's around and he's here basically with me. So I mean, I'm getting. Really interesting feelings here. The thing the message I have for you know for the family that you know that you can pass on from him is that number one, you know, I'm okay. Number one, don't make it feel like you could have done anything. This was meant to be. This is how it was meant. You know, the choice was made. You know, for me to go. There was nothing you could have done. It was a complete accident, and that's the word that is absolutely paramount that he wants to get through. This was an accident. It didn't. You know,
good.
There was no purposeful suicide. He did not mean to pass the way he did, you know, from a conscious point of view. It was already ordained that he would do the cross, but from his view, he had plenty to live for. He was going through some rough times, but the last thing on his mind was crossing over. And so he wants everybody to know that he's okay. The other thing is getting some dispute about something of his that, was there a dispute over property over his effects? Was there something that happened over the effects of his? I guess feeling like there's a discussion or a dispute. I can't tell which, but there seems to be animated discussion about some of the stuff he had on this side that he left behind.
I think this is what you mean. His mother kind of just threw everything out.
Oh.
And so that was pretty bad, and I think that he wanted some people to have some of his things, and it didn't happen, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Would there have been other material? What I keep getting the impression of is that there are still remains some materials of his that are someplace that might not have been immediately accessible, that still exist, and this may come to pass that this is going to come up again. So the big thing to deal with is he's kind of reiterating that this stuff is out there. Did his fiscal situation get all cleared up when the estate was closed and all that? I mean, because I feel like there's a fiscal thing.
Towards the end when he was having his issues, he really he owed a lot of people. So maybe that's what you're seeing?
No, no. There's like a, there's some sort of a, there's something that's of value that is in a place that I don't know quite what to make of this, but he's showing me an object of value. That's what he keeps talking about. There's something valuable that needs to be looked into, and it will be found, and then this will become, this is sort of a gift from him kind of thing. So he's making sure that you just need to look for this, and it's out there. It may be some time before it's found, but he's just making sure that, they know that there's something there to go look for and to keep, just keep an eye out. That's the big thing, because it'll turn up in a place they'll not expect it. And I'm just trying to get, he's sort of pulling back a bit. Did he have a sister? There was a sister energy. There's a sister.
Actually, a sister-in-law who was do this kind of stuff. And always, every time I had a reading, which wasn't much for him, but she always comes through, so I wouldn't be surprised.
There is another sibling on the other side with him. There's a sibling who was never born properly. There's a, this is like a sibling energy who was either stillborn, something like that, or died earlier. I don't know which yet, but I know this much. The sibling was there to greet him when he got there. And I feel this is a female. So I don't know the, I get the feeling it would be a bad thing to bring that up. But I just feel he's just making sure that this is known that there was a sibling there.
That's interesting, because when you mentioned sibling, that's where my mind went. Like, his mother, I think, did lose a child before he was born, So, and it was very early on, like in his character or something, so.
Yeah, I really feel sibling energy, and he was as surprised as, anybody could be. And this is a fairly common event, when you cross, you'll run into this. I mean, I have a sibling who I never met, a brother. And so I'm sure when I cross, it's going to be, okay, I got a brother. But I mean, it's for him, it was a real shock, But now that's a relationship on the other side, that's a mature relationship. And, and it's wonderful. He really, really, really is emphasizing that he's got to get it through through you basically now, because the torch is passed to you to get this message through that he's A-okay. And the other thing is, it's okay to talk about him, and it's okay to talk about what happened, and it's okay to talk to him in the present. And he's around during the celebrations. He's around during the hard times. He's there. So, when they feel the little energy shifts, when they feel the cold spots, when the things are being moved around in the house, which he's doing, by the way, these are that's little signs of him doing things. He's done everything he can to get through, and now, this little miracle happened, and he is beyond thrilled to get the chance to speak. So, I mean, that's what's going on.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You're right. Everything. Well, John, thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, he really is a good man. This was just... some people are just not equipped to deal with the death of a parent. And, I mean, I've had my challenges with it, with my father's situation that I'm going through. But, you know, it's been a slow process. But to get hit with it suddenly, you know, some people just don't process it well. He didn't process it well. And he tried to cover the pain up the best he could. And what he did is it was just one of those things that happened. But he's alive. He's got a life there. The lamp just went deep, deep red. That's a sign of love. He's sending his love. And so he's sending his love to you and to the whole family and everybody who knows him. Says hi to his friends. He had a friend he raced with or did something with, you know, it was like a mechanical guy with. There was a close friend that he did mechanical things with. He's wanting to say,
yes.
I get the name Brian. I don't know why. Is there a Brian? Is there a B name,
no.
BR? There's a BR. Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, he's got this buddy, and then he's got another one that did he do military duty?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That might be the connection. There may, you know, so he's got the racing buddy guy, and then I've got Brian, and you may find out that there's a Brian in the military. So
it sounds familiar. I just can't place them, so I'll keep.
Yeah, that. and that's the neat part here. So if this turns out, here's another little bit of evidence here, and if it turns out that keys up, then he just get the message out to Brian and also to his buddy, which I can't get the name. I don't get the name for this guy, but anyway, he's pulling back. But I mean, he's a very easy read. I'll give him that. Nice guy. I like his energy.
Everything you said, you know, especially that he's thrilled to come. I know that. I just know.
Oh.
Yeah. He's an extraordinary young man, and he's going to be there for quite some. Oops, she just dropped. So
yeah, she did.
Yeah, she just dropped, but I know she's listening. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and continue on. We're going to be shutting down here in about 8 minutes, but I really enjoyed that reading. That was a good reading. If she calls back in, I'll go ahead and take the call. But I really like calls like that where we can do that. And some of the stuff going on too is you've noticed the shift in the shows. And here she comes back. We're doing a lot of more pure mediumship shows where we're not doing just psychic readings. I'll open up for some of that, but we really excel at doing the stuff what we just did here. That's what we like to do. And okay, she's back. Hello, my dear.
Hello. Sorry about
we
that. I have two cups and a string here as a phone. So.
Well, it's proof that reincarnation is real. Your phone has reincarnated, and we have you back.
Yay. You know, I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, everything you said, I was like, yes, yes. You know, only because I know some of the things, especially about it was an accident, that really means a lot to me, because I have wondered, you know, did he take his life, you know, and you did get that very clearly, that accident. So that kind of puts it to rest a lot more for me, you know.
Yeah, no, he absolutely, he wanted to live. He was just trying to work through the pain, and you know, that's the overriding thing in this whole message. It's just, you know, oh my God, I didn't mean to hurt everybody. This is not what I intended. But, you know, he just wants to get through to let everybody know he's okay. The one thing I suggest too, and this is not part of him talking, but I often bring this up on the show, is when we have spirits who've crossed and they come through, and family is really glad to hear from them. I just keep reiterating, you have a continuing relationship with them. They don't, just because they only come through, you know, on a show, you still have, you know, family relations there, you know. And what I always recommend is during holidays, we set the table for the dead, where we have one table setting for the dead. We tip that chair forward. So no human being will sit there. That's for our relatives who passed to come in and spend time with us and commune with us while we're enjoying our dinners and having our holiday. And I recommend that highly to anybody who is out there who's had somebody pass. And, you know, we all have. You bring them
beautiful.
Through. Make them part of your celebration, because they continue to be part of our lives even though they passed. And when that recognition hits people that they can do that, it's like it changes everything. And that, and then suddenly they're having a relationship, and they're just people without bodies. That's it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I you know, but I hope that that helps whoever you communicate that to. You know, my deepest sympathies for, you know, what they went through. But you know, the good news is he's doing okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's helping others who've crossed. Is the way I get the sense I get of him is he's a very empathetic person, and he's helping people who've crossed over, and he's doing some kind of teaching on that side.
Oh.
So you know, that was the overall sense I got from him. But yeah, he's just an easy read. I really like that. Yeah. Feel good. Yeah. Thank you for coming on and doing that with me here.
Thank you, John. My goodness. I did, you know,
all right.
I was like half joking, but when you mentioned April 7th, I said, you know, this would be the guy to call.
Yeah.
When she was saying 427, I don't know. I just think there's an April thing here, and I just kept getting this sense of it. So, yeah, I just trust
Amazing.
The instincts. But I've been doing this a while, you know. So I mean, I just trust my that gut feeling, and it turned out to be a date. So then look what happened. This was all meant to be.
Right, and maybe that it kept saying seven, and we were debating, is that seven or heaven? And I'm pretty sure that I came to the, I was still hearing that, but anyway, now I fully, and I knew, we forgot to mention on the show, Jenny, yesterday, that there was a connection for you with seven. And
yes.
And so that also fits then to me, give credence to the idea that the 427, I believe it was Carrie Whisper that was typing into the chat room. I kept the chat log, eh? And I believe it was her that kept typing in 427, and you know, that's what led me to actually Google it. You know what I mean? Like it felt
wow.
to me like that there was something more to it. And maybe you
know,
I was off because I thought I was going to find a model of a motorcycle that was a 427 or a size of an engine or some other, you know, thing regarding a motorcycle. But April 7th, you know, that's at least worth giving some credence to, given that the earlier EVP said 7. Go ahead.
But, Chris, you were also right in a way because I followed that link,
mm-hmm.
and the scenery on that road is exactly the kind he and I would do when we went riding. You know,
right.
The mountains
great.
And everything. It looked very familiar to me. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was something that you got psychically, my friend. Also, you know.
It's not psychic. It's just like, you know, we people talk with the psychic already.
I hate to break it to you. I'm going to stick to this point like glue. This whole thing
right.
happened because of you. Chris, I mean, you brought this all to my doorstep, and then the next thing we know, we opened all these doors, and welcome to Psychic Mediumship. Hello. Knock, knock. We're hitting you on the head. Knock, knock.
But then it took Jenny to show up out of nowhere to come to your show, too, on top of it. So, anyway, what a fun show that was. I totally been here almost the whole time on your show, John.
Well, thank you. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, you make a great co-host on my show, and I just totally enjoyed it. So, and then thank you for everything you did the other day on your show. So,
not a problem. My pleasure.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got about 2 minutes, 2 minute warning, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and do some of that show host BTR stuff. We've got the read off of our late night listeners, and thank God for you guys. You make this all possible. We've got Curious Listener. Hey, I've got her on the phone. We've got Lisa Sweeney, ex Robotti. I said that right, all in one time. You know, I'll just say hi, Lisa. We've got Mountain Diva. We've got PIC, Pick. We've got Quinny. Hello, my dear. She's out there in New Jersey. And we got Satori, who's on the phone, who I just did this wonderful reading with and for. And Truth Beyond Reality, great show out there. I've seen you around. Western Nevada Paranormal, right over the hill from me. And they do a lot of really neat investigations, and they've got a great show on Blog Talk, too. So good to have all of you listening. And I know the lurkers are out there, so we know you're there. We know you're listening. So anyway, we are really glad to have had done a show tonight, just off the cuff. I promise I'll do more of these. When I feel the urge to just jump in front of a mic and start reading, I'm just going to do it, because that's the other side usually telling me, hey, get out there and do some work. Come on. So I'll do that. Okay. Well, we got 53 seconds remaining. Any last stuff? You get. When's your next show?
I'm probably going to have one tomorrow. It's just not set time-wise. And I've got for sure one Tuesday, but I'm a short notice scheduler, but it usually comes together. So I don't have any set times, except every Tuesday for sure I'm on at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Well, we got 20 seconds. I'm going to be on tomorrow night with Kathy on Kathy's Distant Echoes. I think it's around 8 o'clock, so look for me there. I'll be doing readings for the whole 2 hours. So I'll be working with her, and it's just great to be back. I haven't done readings with her in forever, so it'll be great. So we got 5 seconds. Thanks, everybody, for coming on. This is Soul Stream. We'll see you guys tomorrow and on Saturday. And now we're off stream. I had a great time with you, too.
I had a great time, too. And, I forgot to say that it also took you to have a sudden, impromptu show. And then I came, and then Jenny came. So it was just the universe working, I guess, doing its job.
Welcome to Psychic Mediumship. I'm going to be giving you that. You will join
You're
us.
So
you will
bad.
Be part of us. You have been absorbed into the collective. You are now medium, yes. We're going to pump you up.
Oh, my God. You guys stop. Anyway.
You've become a medium. You're aboard the USS Enterprise to read.
I'm a little bit on the, I might be a medium, but I prefer an extra large shirt.
Oh, anyway. Well, you are doing everything that you should be doing, and I think you will come to embrace this over time. It's just I recognize in you, you have a gift. It's expressing itself. Your frontal lobes are not quite accepting it yet, but your body and your spirit and mind, and a good chunk of your subconscious mind are just dragging you along for the ride. You're just starting to wake up to it. So hello,
hello,
hello, McFly. Hello,
bonjour, bonjour. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate their time on your show, John. Thanks.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, and
have
a good
you
night.
Again, John. Okay.
Okay. God bless.
Take care,
right,
guys. I'll call you, Jenny. Bye.
See you guys later. And let's see. What do we got? We have, I'm going to go ahead and play a show closer. And again, we'll be on tomorrow night. I better say thanks to everybody in the chat. Thanks all. I'm going to do that. Okay, there we go. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and close this down. I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of music, send you guys off. See you tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Soul Stream. We love you guys. Take care.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
Wrapped up in clothes.